Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, it's a four-letter word. It's synonymous with the dark days, months and years after the 2008 crash. Yet in 18 months' time, it's going to disappear. Yes, I'm talking about NAMA. One man who's been following its life from the very beginning is with me now. It's a great pleasure to welcome Matt Cooper, presenter of The Last Word, on Today FM to the programme. How are you, Matt?
I'm very good, Bobby. How are you?
Real good. Now, the idea of NAMA as set up firstly as a bad bank, Matt, was quite innovative, quite a new thing, you know, and it was a very dark time in Irish economic history.
I think an awful lot of us want to try and forget what it was like 15 years ago when the country was absolutely banjaxed because of plummeting property valuations and the impact that that was having on the financial status of the banks, and because the state had to come forward with 64 billion euro to rescue the banks effectively by taking control of all of these bad loans and by putting them into NAMA. Of course, it wasn't all that was wrong with the banks. The banks still remained in a very, very bad position because it was only loan portfolios worth more than 20 million euro that were transferred to NAMA. So NAMA did a certain amount in sorting out the banks, but the banks still needed capital injections beyond the transfer of the loans to NAMA. And NAMA was set up, it purchased about 78 billion euro worth of loans for 31 billion euro. So NAMA, in a sense, you know, was able to buy these loans cheaply. And it was always likely that NAMA, well, I can't say it was always likely, but the odds were stacked towards NAMA succeeding in actually managing to sell these loans.
One of the key points there, Matt, is that the bar was very low in terms of if the taxpayer got any money back, it was almost a good day given how bad things were at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was an exceptionally uncertain time, and we have to give that. And nothing was selling. And when nothing is selling, values continue to fall lower until such time as things do start to begin selling. So there was a certain amount of, you know, wet your finger, stick it in the air and see which way the wind is blowing when it came to deciding what the valuations of particular loans were. Something that was very sore for a lot of the owners of the loans, the property developers and property owners, who felt that if they were given time, they would be, the property prices would recover and they would be able to pay back more of their loans. But basically, the loans were revalued and then the various holders of the loans were required to repay 100% of the new valuation.
Many
of them actually managed to do, but many of them still weren't in a position to do. And that meant that there has been, most significantly, and this is something I've spoken to you about before, Bobby, about my book, Who Really Owns Ireland, there was this massive transfer of the ownership of assets in Ireland to those who could afford to buy up these loans and the attached assets at these discounted prices.
Yeah, and one of the things around that is that there was no Irish wealth available to buy those assets. So it went overseas and it did create these vulture funds, and they had very, very favourable, you know, tax breaks on acquiring these properties, Matt. So, but, you know, can we complain because we weren't in a position to buy them ourselves?
Well, that's it. I mean, there were some Irish individuals and businesses who were in a position where they were able to buy it, but they were limited in number. And yes, we needed an incredible infusion of international capital coming in to take control of the loans and then take control of building. It meant in cases of finishing out an awful lot of the commercial office blocks, for example, commercial office blocks, which have been absolutely essential to the revitalization of the Irish economy and to also bringing in the tax revenues which have been used by the government in recent years. So it wasn't all bad in that regard. There was a requirement to actually get things going and get things moving. But it has meant a significant and massive shift in the ownership of the assets of the country, something which is often not particularly appreciated. And maybe it focuses on the houses and apartment blocks which get built by these, because as the places that people live, that upsets and gets the attention most, but it actually has been highly significant as well in what it has done in what you might call the more productive assets rather than the assets in which people live.
When we look at NAMA, when it's at its inception in 2008 or 9, whenever it was, versus what it became. So it started off as a bad bank, but essentially it became a property developer.
Yeah, and it didn't have the skills as such to do that. I mean, it was established for a reason of being a financial expert in actually selling loans or refinancing loans. So the skills involved in being a property developer are something else entirely. So it might have called itself a property developer, but it wasn't really. It was financing new builders or builders who remained in favour. And there was, coming into the 2016 general election, there was a new mandate given to it by the Fine Gael Labour government at the time. But while NAMA in its most recent annual reports has been boasting about the number of properties that it actually managed to finance, it didn't build, it financed.
Yeah.
It's been quite small in the overall scheme of things. And I think what we can actually learn from that as well is that some commentators are suggesting that a lot of our housing ills could be somehow sorted out by the establishment of a major state building company. Well, the example of what happened with NAMA, and when you see how much it is that major private companies are able to do in a year, would suggest that that's not the way to go to build all the houses that we need in the future. NAMA has told us enough to know that the state can't actually do everything that's required, and that the private sector and private capital is very much essential.
Yeah. We also shouldn't forget that at one time they operated or managed 30 golf courses and 83 hotels. So they were neither golf course operators or hoteliers, but they found themselves managing these assets.
They did, and they sold them all pretty sharpishly. But now that in itself also illustrates that, you know, how much things went askew in the boom years, in the Celtic Tiger years, and it just wasn't an overbuilding of houses at the time at prices that couldn't be afforded, but that there was an awful lot of bad banking done,
yeah.
And that a lot of the banks recklessly lent to developers for overvalued golf courses and hotel assets, and the prices of these were way, way too high. These are things that you need in a functioning economy and that you need for the tourism business. But it was a legacy of excessive valuations being put on things. And maybe you could look at it now, some of the valuations again of golf courses and hotels may be looking a little bit tasty at the moment as well, particularly in the hotel sector. But they're not associated with Irish debt anymore. And that, I suppose, is the interesting. If you then look at commercial property, commercial office developments, they have fallen quite a lot in value in recent times, as have shopping centres, which would have been another major thing for NAMA to deal with, and which is a major part of the book as well. And a lot of those who bought those in the last 5 or 6 years bought at overvalued prices. But the damage isn't being done to the Irish economy, because it wasn't the Irish banks that were doing the lending this time. It was that international capital which is having to take the hit for buying at overpriced levels.
Okay. So if we do the maths on NAMA, Matt, they claim they brought a 5.2 billion, what they call lifetime surplus. So versus what the taxpayer shelled out, and we look at the return to the taxpayer, do you feel that they gave us value for money?
It's exceptionally difficult to work out whether value for money was given. If we go back to what I said earlier, a very, very difficult situation where no property was selling and things had to be sold to get the market moving again. But I suppose if you look at the amount of capital that was invested back in 2009, the 31 million quid from notes and everything that had to be taken out to finance that. And if you look at a profit of 5 billion over 15 years in a property market that has absolutely been soaring, and when you look at some of the enormous profits that have been made by those who bought at cheap prices, I don't think that the 5 billion or so profit that it's boasting of in its lifetime is necessarily a very big number. Even the 5 billion is a lot of money. Relative to the situation in which you found itself, it's not. But then again, NAMA wasn't set up to actually make a big profit. It was set up to cover the money that it invested and to get the property market moving again. the outcome of that is something that, well, you know, you have to judge by a whole series of criteria, not just financial.
Yeah. And finally, I was looking at, you know, Michael McGrath last week saying that there's going to be this new resolution unit set up to tie up NAMA loose ends. Is this NAMA by another name?
Not really. I guess there's also a little bit in relation to the old Anglo-Irish Bank, IBRC. There are certain assets that in the current market, it might not make sense to sell. You mightn't get the best price at present. I mean, timing, again, is always the issue in relation to property transactions. It'll just be a very small amount of assets by comparison by what NAMA once had.
Okay. Well, look, it's a fascinating story, you know, and I was even doing the research on it there, just looking at it from its inception to now to its ultimate wind down. It's a story that can keep on giving, I believe. And thank you for your contribution, Matt.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.